place.
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning, bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the hay of the noonday's glare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and white? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheep be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Would you glean golden sheaves in the harvest, brother? Come and join the ranks today. For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home?
We're going to bow together just in prayer. Ask the Lord to come, give us help, put his hand in the meeting. Bless us as we meet here tonight. Our God and Father, we thank you for the place where prayers want to be made. We're glad that we can lift our hearts to thee. We rejoice, Father, in the access given to us as your children. We thank, Father, of that matchless privilege that we're able to come right into your immediate presence, that we can approach the throne room of heaven, none daring to make us afraid. We thank you for our Saviour. We thank you for his precious blood. We thank you the blood has been applied to our hearts, to our lives. We're glad tonight, Father, we can say that we're cleansed, that we're blood washed, and we rejoice that the blood speaks for us, even in heaven, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Lord, we rejoice in the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you that it speaks peace and pardon for us before your eternal throne. And we thank you for our Saviour. We rejoice that he lives, that he conquered death, that he ascended up on high, that he's seated tonight even at thy right hand. And Lord, what a blessing to know that he's praying for us. He ever lives to make intercession for his people. And Lord, how that encourages our hearts as we come to the prayer meeting tonight, as we draw aside into your presence. And we know that those prayers are ever effectual, that they're always answered. And Lord, how that encourages us as we labour for thee in these very difficult days. We ask, Father, that you'll help us too to be intercessors. Give us a deeper burden for the place of prayer. And Lord, help us pour out that Spirit of God upon us, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's the weakness of our own flesh that hinders us and prevents us from continuing before Thee in prayer as we ought. And Lord, we cry for a greater desire to wrestle with God, to pray down the power, the blessing of God upon our lives and upon the witness of the church. We do thank You for this congregation. Lord, we thank You for a midweek service. Thank You for a prayer meeting. We recognize tonight the importance of this meeting. We've come to confess our need. We've come, Father, to confess our weakness. We've come, Father, to bring before Thee even the days in which we live, the darkness, the wickedness of these days. And Lord, we've come to cry for Your help, for Your blessing to be upon our labours. And we thank You for even the activities of the church over this summertime. We remember the seed sown. We've been singing, Are You Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom, Brother? And Lord, we thank You for the seed that has been sown by our outreach team, even in this city in recent weeks. We remember, Father, the tracts that have been scattered even far and wide over the marching season as well. And Lord, how we would ask Thee to use that literature. We're praying, Father, that You'll bless it. We ask, Father, it will be the means of speaking to hearts. We want to pray that it will bear fruit. We're asking, Father, that You'll give to us as a congregation much fruit, even in these days. We want to pray that even the literature might be used to bring others in to the church, into our services. Do bless in a very definite way, Father, the meetings of this church. And we pray particularly tonight for the meetings down in Killalea this week. Lord, we have much to give Thee thanks for. We praise Thee for answering our cries for the weather, for such beautiful evenings. Thank You, Father, for the children that have been assembling. We praise Thee, Father, just for the very good numbers of boys and girls. Remember young Jonathan as he speaks. Even, Father, as the meeting will just be closing, we want to pray that You'll use Your word that has gone forth. We ask, Father, that the children will not be forgetful hearers, that they'll not go away from that meeting and not think about the truths that they've been taught. We ask Thee to speak to their hearts. We pray, Father, that there'll be salvation that will come to Killalea even this week, not just the children, but even through the children. We pray that some of the parents and the wider families might be spoken to and brought to Christ. We pray for the meeting tomorrow night. We ask for a good evening again. And Lord, if it please Thee, we ask even for more boys and girls to be brought along to that final meeting. We just cry to Thee, Father, that as the prayers go up, that the blessing of God might come down. We're mindful especially tonight of our dear brother Rodney there in the hospital, so weak and ill just at this time. Lord, be near to Your servant as he enters the valley of the shadow. Remember his family too. Draw near to them. Sustain them. Strengthen them. May they know the presence and the help of God also just in these days. So, Father, abide with us. We thank You for the word of God. We ask Thee to open it to us tonight. Our prayer, Father, would be that You would speak to us. We ask for the speaking voice of God to be known in this meeting. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn to Luke's Gospel this evening. It's Luke's Gospel and the 8th chapter, please. Luke chapter 8. We want to read together a section of this portion, beginning at verse 4, and we're reading down to the end of verse 15. So the 8th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the 4th verse, let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. The Scriptures tell us, and when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. Remember, this is the Savior himself, and this was the manner in which he often taught through the telling of stories or the parables. So the verse 5 says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So we're closing the reading just there tonight, the end of the 15th verse, and we pray the Lord will bless to every heart the public reading of his word. The 12th verse, please. Luke 8, verse 12, our text tonight. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Just think of what's been said. Very significant, very serious. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word of God, out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. I want to think tonight of the theme of the great enemy of gospel preaching. And that's what we're reading about here in this passage, and especially in our text. I think it's very appropriate, the theme the Bible study will engage in tonight. We think of the sowing of the seed, the scattering forth of the word of God that our congregation has been involved in so many ways, the scattering forth over the internet, all of those means that we have at our disposal now to broadcast the end of the earth, the outreach team going forth into this city, community, all of the literature that as a congregation we have been able to produce and to give out, even the meetings taking place this week among the children, the boys and girls, down there in Killaloe, the seed of the word of God that is being scattered on those young hearts as well. So I want you to think in the light of all of that, of the great enemy of gospel preaching. You're familiar with the story of Martin Luther when he was in the Wartburg Castle. He was translating there the word of God into the German language. That was the great task that he was engaged in during those months. When he was in a study one day, he had such a
sense of the presence of the devil in that room, that he took the ink pot that he was using and he fired it across the room in the direction in which he felt the devil was present. There was a stain from that ink pot that was left there on the wall as a reminder of that event for many years afterwards. So brethren and sisters, I want you to be in no doubt tonight. Let me remind you, the devil is very real. That was the lesson Martin Luther learned that day in the Wartburg. The devil is very real. And the devil wants to oppose the work of God, the work of the gospel, in whatever way he can. Remember that Paul said, writing to the Thessalonians, that Satan hindered us. Now just think of that. As he was seeking to go forth in obedience to God, to go forward in the work of the gospel, the devil and all his minions were seeking to hinder, to oppose the apostle and his missionary team. So I want you to be aware tonight, to have it just refreshed in your mind, the reality that the devil always seeks to oppose God's work. The New Testament says that we're not to be ignorant of his devices. We're not to be ignorant of the strategies that the devil employs, the weapons that he uses. The reason for that, you ask, why should we not be ignorant of his devices? Well, because they're revealed to us. The Lord shows them to us. He teaches us about them in the Scriptures. And the question especially I want us to consider tonight, as we think of the great enemy, the devil, the great enemy of gospel preaching, I want us to think of the question, what is the devil actually doing whenever the Word of God is preached and proclaimed? You think of those little meetings down in Killaloe when the seed of God's Word has been sown so abundantly. Well, what's the devil doing when we hold our gospel meetings on a Sabbath evening? We're seeking to herald forth the good news. What is the devil doing at such a time when the Word of God is being preached? I want you to think of that. Well, this text, brethren and sisters, gives the answer to that question. It says, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This is a very striking, very serious text of Scripture, the message, the truth that is contained within us. So there's three things especially I want you to note with me tonight about the great enemy of gospel preaching that's taught here to us in this Scripture. Notice, first of all, the punctuality of the devil. The text says, then cometh the devil. In other words, the idea is, just as the seed of God's word is sown in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, just as that seed is sown, he's there at that time, right away, to devour it. The farmers know, the gardeners too, whenever you sow seed, the birds are there right away. They will swoop down. They will want to eat up that seed. Out there in the desert, if a beast or a person dies, without delay, the vultures will appear. They will swoop down to devour the flesh. Well, it's just the same, men and women, with the devil. Wherever the word of God is preached and proclaimed, he hurries there. He races to that place. He travels to that spot. And he travels there at greatest speed. And he travels there to oppose the work that is being done for God, the work that is being done in the gospel. Isn't it interesting that the devil is very punctual in his attendance at the meetings? He's never late. The devil's never behind the time. He's always on time. The verse says, then cometh. The idea there is that there and then, just as the word is preached, just as the seed is being sown or being scattered, at that very moment, at that very instant, the devil's there. The devil will appear. It's not a solemn thought, men and women. Mark says, in his account of this parable, Satan cometh immediately. There's no delay. There's no waiting, no holding back, no dragging of his feet. Others may be late for the meeting, but the devil certainly is not. So what a challenge that is to our hearts, brethren and sisters. Oh, that we were half as quick to serve the Lord. Oh, that we were as zealous to seize opportunities to serve the Master that come our way. You think of the question, why? Why does the devil come immediately? Why does he come so hastily without delay? Well, it's for this reason. He doesn't want the word of God. He doesn't want the seed of the gospel to take root in the hearts of men and women. He doesn't want that word to have an effect. So what he does is he wastes no time to come and to snatch it away. He doesn't want men and women. He doesn't want the children, the young people, to have time to think upon God's word, to consider the truths of Scripture that have been said before them. He doesn't want them to be able to contemplate their danger of going to a lost eternity, their need of Christ as Savior. He doesn't want them to think of those things lest they repent and be saved. So without delay, he comes to snatch away the seed of God's word. Do you remember what we're told about Joshua the high priest in the Old Testament? He's standing there before the Lord. He's engaged in worship, seeking the Lord. But the Bible says that Satan was at his right hand to resist him at that very moment. Well, for us it's the same. When we're proclaiming the gospel, Satan's right there. He rushes to the spot. And if he can't come himself, because remember, the devil's not like God. The devil's not omnipresent. The devil's not present in every place at the same time. So if he can't come himself, he'll send one of his many demons to come and resist the work of the gospel in that place. So the punctuality of the devil. Notice what we're taught here as well, a very significant lesson about the power of the devil. The text says, and taketh away the word out of their hearts. I want you just to pause and think about that, men and women. When the devil comes so swiftly, he means business. The devil's not there to loiter, to dilly-dally. He doesn't just come to spectate what's taking place. He comes to do a very serious work, to exert his power. He's there to take away the word of God. It's not a solemn thought. We want God's word to be made known. But I want you to realize tonight, brethren and sisters, that there's an enemy of our work, a great enemy of the church, a great enemy of the kingdom of God. And what he wants to do is take away God's word. That is the great task that the devil is doing. And we learn here, he has the power. He does have the power to do it. The text says, and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Notice, it doesn't say that he tries to take the word away. It says he succeeds. This is something that the devil actually does. He actually has the power to do. So here's an example, a very significant, striking example set forth in the Bible of the power that Satan has. He can take the word of God out of a person's heart, out of a person's mind. And that's a very sobering thought, men and women. You think of what he wants to snatch away. It's the Scriptures. He wants to snatch away the word of the Lord. What that shows us is this. Pray the Lord might impress this upon your heart tonight. It shows us how important the Bible really is. How important it is to teach to others the Scriptures. Souls don't need drama and the like. What the souls of this country and the souls of the nations of the earth need is the word of God, the word of the gospel. The devil knows that. And we should know it as well, brethren and sisters. We need to be diligent in sowing the seed. We need to be earnest and diligent in getting out the word of God. The Bible says, Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's by the word of God, the hearing of the word of God, that men and women are brought to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. We talked in the children's address on Sunday morning about that word that meant light. Well, remember the spiritual darkness all around, and the scriptures teach us it's the entrance of thy word that giveth light. So may the Lord teach us that tonight, brethren and sisters. Men and women need the word. Children need the word of God. We need to be diligent in the sowing of the seed of God's word. That's something that is vital if souls are to be saved. We need to spread far and wide. We need to spread diligently and abundantly the word of the gospel. There's one thing the devil hates. It's the word of God. He hates children and adults hearing the word of God. Let us see that, even in this portion. Let us learn it, be taught it tonight. We need to keep sowing the seed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be put off. Sow it continually. Sow it widely. There's an old saying in country circles when they were sowing seed, one for the worm, one for the crow, and then a third which will certainly grow. So the idea is there needs to be an abundant sowing of the seed if there's going to be a harvest, if it's going to bear fruit. And what is true in the natural is true in the spiritual as well. Solomon said, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. The idea, the meaning of that text is sow liberally. And we want to encourage you to keep doing that, brethren and sisters. Remember that the seed the birds here snatched away, it fell on the wayside. In other words, it fell on the path. That's hard ground. Many had walked over it. That's the reason why it was hardened. That's one reason why the devil can easily take away the word. It's because of the hardness of people's hearts. The word lies on the surface. It doesn't penetrate a hard heart. And it's easy then for the devil to do his work. Can I stress to you tonight, in the light of what's going on this week down in Killaloe, that's one reason why it's very important to evangelize children. Can I encourage you to do that? Be involved in that work, even among your own family, children, grandchildren, and so on. It's vital to evangelize children, to bring the word of God to those young hearts, to sow the seed of God's word before their heart is hardened. Hardened by sin and hardened by this world. And we need to pray, brethren and sisters. I encourage you to do that. And in a little while, when we come to the season of prayer, we need to pray and pray earnestly for the power of God to be at work in the church and in the works in which we're engaged, to turn hearts into good ground, and pray that hearts are opened. That's one of the jobs the farmer does when he's preparing the ground. We need to see hearts that are opened to receive the word, so that the word will take root, so that the word of God as it goes forth will speak savingly to men and to women. So there's something about the power of the devil. I want you to see also just one other thing. That's the purpose of the devil. So why does the devil rush to a gospel meeting? Why does he attack the preaching of God's word and attack it so much? Well, simply for this reason. He does not want souls to be saved. The devil doesn't want souls to be saved in our children's meetings, our Sunday school, our holiday Bible clubs, our youth fellowships, our gospel services, our gospel missions. The devil doesn't want souls to be saved. So he will be very busy opposing, attacking those meetings, all of them, and the preaching of the word. Think of what the text says, lest they should believe and be saved. Those words are a summary of the gospel. How are souls saved from a lost eternity, saved from their sins? Well, they're saved by believing the gospel, by believing the word, putting their trust in Christ for their salvation. That's what we want to see. We want to see children believe and be saved. Pray that'll happen down in Killaloe. Want to see adults believe, put their trust in Christ and be saved. You know, the devil knows that. This verse is teaching us that truth. The devil knows. That's how souls are saved. The devil knows the theology of the Bible. The devil knows the gospel, maybe better than some of us does. The devil wants people to be engaged in works and rituals. He wants them to do anything, but he dreads a soul believing, because he knows that then they will be saved. Then they will go to heaven. They will experience God's so great salvation. So we see here clearly, men and women, the devil is the enemy of souls. He's the enemy of the work of the gospel. The devil wants to damn souls. And I encourage you tonight, in the light of that, to renew our efforts to win souls to Christ. Let us renew our efforts to sow the seed, to preach the word, to teach others the good news of the gospel. Henry Moorhouse, the English evangelist, he made an inquiry about D.L. Moody when he first heard about him. He asked, was he O and O? What he meant was he a man that was out and out for Christ, out and out for souls? Well, let that be true of us, brethren and sisters. Out and out in the winning of souls for Christ. Let us do what we can. May the Lord give us a mind to work. Remember, that was our motto text during last year. We need a mind to work. Remember that the night cometh when no man can work. We think of the days closing in, the shorter evenings, the darkness descending. Well, that's true for all of us. The longer we live, the shorter the days, the shorter the time. The night's coming. The night is coming when no man can work. So here's something about the great enemy of gospel preaching. What is the devil doing when the word is preached in a children's meeting or a gospel service? Let us understand, let us learn, while we are busy, and we're glad of the opportunity to do what we can, but we need to be busy in the days in which we live, but while we're busy spreading the gospel as we ought, never forget the devil's busy too. That's what the Saviour's teaching us here. The devil's busy. The devil's not idle. The devil's doing all he can, and he's doing all he can to bring our efforts to naught. So we need to pray earnestly for the help of God. Remember, without him we can do nothing. We need to pray for the defeat of the devil and all his plans. We need to pray for the destruction of his work. And remember that great promise that he'll build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So take great encouragement, brethren and sisters, from that promise, that truth of the scriptures. So think of these words. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and as they're hearing, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. May the Lord be pleased to use his word as it has gone forth tonight. Just a few verses of the hymn 536, please. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky, reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on, mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. So it's 536. We'll stand to sing just the first three verses and the choruses, please, of the hymn. My comrades, say the signal waving in the sky, reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Oh,
for I am coming. Jesus, say, not still. Away they answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. The mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. See the glorious banner waving. Hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still. With the answer back to heaven. By thy grace.